Ready? We will call to order the Board of Supervisors for Wednesday, December 19th, 2018, at 8:46 on the clock. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. Number one is a general agenda. Number two is approved minutes of the meeting held December 5th, 2018. Three is approve all claims through December 19, 2018 in the amount of $739,610.70. Accept claim number 1812095 Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $3,115.25. Claim number 1812203 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $313.72. And claim number 1812215 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $3,947.00 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve register of deeds report, fee report for the month of November 2018. Approve reappointing Michael Braun and Marlene Gakely for another term on the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board. Approve specifications and call for bids on approximately 34 miles of armor coat for project C-34 in parentheses 1146, C-34 in parentheses 1147, C-34 in parentheses 1148, and C-34 in parentheses 1149. Bids to be opened on January 16, 2019 at 9:15 a.m.
Move to approve. Consent agenda is presented.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 1812095 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $3,225.25 and number 1812025 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $3,947.
Motion to approve. Second.
I don't usually say anything on these. It's just there's two different amounts. On the front, it's one amount. It's $100 difference from front to back. I don't know.
Well, that shouldn't be.
Correct.
Oh, I wonder who typed this, anyhow.
Which one's right, yeah.
I think it's 115. Let me look here.
It's the 3,115.25 in the front and 3,225 in the back. So we'll have to have the motion changed too here, though. Yeah.
Hang on just a second. Yeah. Here it is 115. I just have an extra.
115.
So it's 115 down below.
So I think Denny made a motion. Is that okay?
Yes.
With the change and Juergens too for the second. So.
Comment, please.
Yep.
And the one to R.L. Tiemann, that is for hauling township gravel. And I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that all has been delivered for the year. Is that correct? All the townships are done. And I think this probably is the last claim on the hauling part of it. Right, Eric? Is that what you said? Okay.
No, I'll make a comment, too. Good job. I'll just say good job to Galen and everybody else that got that done, because we've not done that a lot of years. And to get that done this year, that's a pretty big thing.
One other comment I'll make, yeah. And I'll shut up.
Promise?
With the weather, yes.
Yeah.
With the weather we had, too, this fall, to get that all completed,
yeah.
You know,
it was pretty
was
big.
A good job.
Yeah.
All right.
Byers was the motion and Juergens a second.
I have Juergens motion, Byers second.
Yes.
Correct.
That's the way it is. Okay. Good. Any more comments? If not, vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 1820203 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $313.72. This brings the total claims approved through December 19th, 2018 to $746,986.67.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Thiemann. said that the original report that she sent out on the claims, or Michelle did, this dollar amount here is the correct one. They did...
Right. The first, when I sent out the agenda to let everybody know what the agenda was, the total was $3,500 and some higher, but we had to change in a claim to lower the amount. So this is $3,500 lower than what I initially sent out.
Vote. Six in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Now, we just need your name and address for the record, Don.
Okay. Don Schuler, 9415 Visage Road, Weimar. Well, this isn't necessarily something to be on the next agenda, but I just wanted to express my feelings on what I read in the Voice News. And Myron, you were nothing wrong with it. You quoted in there, and then what other senators have presented to you or expressed to you is that there isn't much room in the state's budget now for help for financial assistance, and the option is not available to Gage County right now. And I think this is a cop-out and a way to get by without trying to pass anything to help us pay for this judgment on Beatrice 6. I encourage us not to give up. This board has clung to every possible chance there is, even very small, against very small odds, to get something done in regards to this judgment. And so I think, you know, it doesn't cost us anything to ask the governor to budget for this. It just takes work and persistence. We don't have to hire attorneys for that. In the same way with pursuing and pushing the legislature to pass a bill that would allow the state to pay for this judgment. I would recommend considering hiring a lobbyist. I mean, it seems like that helps, and we need all the help we can get, and we spent a lot of money up to this point trying to get help with this Beatrice 6 issue. So what's, you know, that's something to consider, at least. And as far as a county sales tax, well, I feel the state of Nebraska has a responsibility for this. A county sales tax would relieve the property tax, but we are facing more sales tax with the Beatrice getting 0.5% sales tax more. And the state of Nebraska may also enact another 0.5% sales tax if a proposal that is being submitted to them does pass. So we'd have more sales tax just taken away from the people here in Gage County struggling to make ends meet. So I would not support that bill, only as a last resort. We need to persuade the legislature and the governor and do everything we can to get them to help us, because they do have responsibility. And I feel the same way about the loan. We still have to pay for that. Yeah, it's another avenue. It would help us, but we still have to pay for it. The people in Gage County are struggling enough as it is. So in my opinion, it's obvious, the only avenue we have to pursue right now is to ask the state to pay for this and the governor to budget for it. And I'd be happy to speak up on that behalf and support all. And I am working to get the people here in Gage County to stand up and speak up to support all the senators in this effort. I know that Myron or the other senators cannot do it alone. There's a lot of pressure from the governor. He is an individual that I believe is hard to work with, but he's a public servant, and the legislature has, in the end, has more to say than he does. We just need to be persistent. So thank you.
Thank you, and we cannot comment.
I realize
comment.
That.
Yeah, but thank you for coming.
Yeah, yep. You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else for public comment? We have a timed event at 9, so we'll wait. We can start on committee reports before that. Building and grounds, winter lights. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes here. So.
We have my boss, Dave Jones.
Good morning. I think I only need about a minute.
I see this morning that the TH Construction is finishing up that project. Fiber has been installed throughout the courthouse to the data room, and it has been installed going to the sheriff's office also. So that part of this project is done. So now they can start doing the testing and things like that. And everything went good on that, so we have new fiber coming in. That'll be nice. The other thing would be on the roof bids. We have that on the agenda to discuss the two options, whether or not to have those on. That's all I had.
We still got 3 minutes till 9 o'clock, Davey, so
yeah. I don't think I can talk.
Do you have pictures from this weekend? Because I've seen some pictures look pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't have any, but we'll be getting some from my son-in-law who took the pictures.
Now, grandchildren's pictures should always be available to the board.
I feel that way, too. I should
mine
have
are.
On a T-shirt. Yes.
Wedding pictures up at the museum in Omaha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very. We were blessed with very good weather, and everything went really good. So,
Dave, the fiber is installed. Where are we sitting at then with the phones?
They actually have equipment hooked up in the courthouse. They have some things in the extension office, I know, and I don't know if the others do now. But the next step was, I think it's tomorrow, actually, they're going to send some test signals down. Okay. Start coordinating on that part. So
they're not, it's not ready to switch over yet or
it
whatever.
It is not, no.
That'll take some time yet.
Right, yeah.
Did you get a price? You were going to try to get a number for us on any insurance savings if we went with that hardboard?
I did hear back. I talked to Bill Hilton, and he referred me to Larry Pellin, and he said there is no cost savings. He said if our claims are reduced in the long run, that would reduce our insurance costs, but they do not deduct anything for putting more, you know, protection against hail damage on the roof.
So would you go along with what Matt said then, more or less recommendation to just put it back the way it was?
I would. That has been a good roof over there. I guess if it was going to be standing there for a long time, I would say we should put all the money into it that we can to make sure that roof lasts a long time. But being where we don't know how long we will be using that building, I agreed with Matt's comment.
50 years.
Yes.
You have one more minute. You have to keep talking. Thank you, Dave.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Are you coming back when we discuss that later? Wait just a minute. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock. So,
is it okay if I go play with a baby? I'm a good grandpa.
Hey, sweetie pie. Hey, sweetie pie.
Yeah, give me something to drink, Mommy. Come on.
I'm an aunt.
Oh, okay.
And we do have a timed event at 9 o'clock today, and it's our time for Veterans Honor. And I think Phil will be here to make some comments, so...
Morning. This morning, it's my pleasure and honor to introduce to you Franklin F. Damro. Franklin enlisted in the United States Army Air Corps on September 17th, and he started serving on September 25th, 1942. He was an aerial gunner, or an aerial engineer, on a C-47 transport plane. He served in the following locations: the Bismarck Archipelago Campaign, Southern Solomons, New Guinea, Luzon, Southern Philippines, and the Western Pacific. He was awarded the Philippine Liberation Medal with Bronze Service Star, United States Armed Forces in Europe, Asiatic Pacific Service Medal, Air Medal with two bronze oak leaf clusters, with the 5th Air Force, the American Service Medal, Good Conduct Medal, Good Distinguished Flying Cross, World War II Victory Medal, and his lapel button. He served as a tech sergeant in all those locations. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce Franklin Damrow.
She'd like to come up here to take pictures. She can sure come back up around here. If you want to come up here and...
Oh.
Sure.
Stand. Well, I'd like to thank the county board for honoring me at this time. I'm very pleased that I was able to serve my country at that particular time. I was in that troop carrier command actually, and we flew transport planes. And in New Guinea, which is a very primitive country, there were no roads, telephone lines, or anything at that time. And it was up to us to supply the troops with their ammunition, their rations and all their supplies. And those in the mountains, we'd drop supplies by air, by parachute. And then we'd evacuate sick and wounded back to the major hospitals. And as the war progressed, we went on up into the Philippines. And then we switched to a larger plane and carried about twice the capacity and longer flights over water, more island-to-island flights. And we went. At the time the war ended, I was stationed at Clark Field, just north of Manila. And shortly thereafter, they sent our flying troop or flight echelon to Iwo Jima. We had been flying into Okinawa a lot before that. But when we went to Iwo Jima, the war had actually ended. The Japs had surrendered, but we took flights, supplies into Japan for the occupation troops. And I think I was among the very first few that got into Japan, because we went in on August the 30th, and there was no one at the airport when we got there. And we waited until in the nighttime when they finally got around to unloading us. And then the next morning when we took off, we circled Tokyo, flew around over the Emperor's Palace, which is located on a big hill out there in the middle of the city, you know. And it was never touched by war. Of course, I think that's part of the Geneva agreement that they made after World War I. So I've had the privilege of going from Sydney, Australia, where I just embarked when we went over, all the way to Tokyo. But I was only at Tokyo over that one night, and I didn't see a whole lot of Tokyo except the Emperor's Palace. And I did escape one airplane crash, and I was replaced by another person on one flight, which never came back. So I feel quite fortunate. But I'm pleased to have had the pleasure or the privilege to serve my country. And it's an experience I'll never forget. Keep memory forever.
Well, thank you very, very much,
thank
Frank.
You.
Thank you for those words.
Yeah.
And thank you for everybody coming.
Behalf of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, I would like to give you these small tokens of our appreciation. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Terry, they want another picture here.
He's behind the pole.
Away from the pole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank you very much.
Thank you. And my goodness, what a crowd or what a family that you brought along today. That's truly amazing to have everybody come. We really appreciate that. And thank you. Thank you very, very much for your service and your time. We will return to our agenda, and we were on committee reports, equalization.
Nothing.
Finance, insurance.
Oh! Sorry,
finance and insurance.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Beatrice Area Solid Waste Agency annual funding $26,496. John and I attended a meeting last Monday night. Asked a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. Beatrice Medical Center. Inmate medical, $29,579.79. City of Beatrice, professional office lease quarterly EMS service, $62,046. Department of Correctional Services, inmate boarding and medical, $18,290.80. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Road Fund, Rock Gravel, $20,830.21. Manili Wagner and Association Engineers Consulting, $20,403.92. Sapp Brothers, Fuel and Oil, $19,883.49. Dust Roll Incorporated, this funds came out of the Inheritance Fund. Armor Coat, Wymore Road. The final payment, $34,429.01.
And have we received the other part of that claim already? We did 2 weeks ago, Galen, for the grinding, the milling. This was the milling. Oh, he said armor coating. This wasn't for the armor coating. That's what I thought.
Let me make a correction.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was dyslexic. Armor coating for the Holmesville Road, final payment. $34,429.01.
What did you call it?
He said Wymore.
Didn't he?
Oh. I don't know.
It's Holmesville Road.
He did.
It's Holmesville Road, but this was for the milling, though, not the armor coating.
And that real large medical bill was for one of our inmates in the jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also talked, Terry was looking at ways to save some money on federal holidays like day of mourning, outside of our normal holidays, getting approval on that through the board versus just automatically closing everything.
We've got that on the agenda here later to do that. So, you bet. Anything else, finance, insurance? Human resource, employee relations. John, anything?
Nothing.
There's nothing.
No, this is for the human resource.
No relations.
Yeah, no relations either. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Lisa, do you have anything you wanted to cover?
Just today, we just let the record show, we do have an employee training today. That is on evidence collection and how the crime scene investigation actually works. And so since many of our employees work out in the field and here, we never know what can happen. And so it's most important for them to be trained. So the courthouse will close today at 4 o'clock. Deputy Matt Ernst will be doing the program. It's open up to all of our employees here and within our satellite areas. So that's really all I have. The rest of it I was carried here in a little bit. So,
Gus, you want to a little bit of discussion on the SRO position that we've been discussing. I think as a board we need to look into finding a way to help Gus make sure that this happens myself. You want to just give an update to the full board as to where you're at?
From the Monday morning meeting, I've contacted the superintendents again and requested they revisit the topic with their school boards to see if there's a dollar amount that they would feel comfortable with individually contributing. Talked to Christina Lyons last night. She's pretty confident that if the county and the schools can come to some agreement on a dollar amount combined, she thinks we can probably sit down and apply for the COPS grant and get a match. So I'll wait. I won't be able to hear anything back now from superintendents because a couple of them don't have school board meetings now until the middle of next month. But at least it'll give us some time to think about it. And I told them the board's some members kind of interested in making sure that we see this try to happen, so at least visit again. So they said they assured me they would do that and get back to me. So we'll see where we're at.
Which schools?
Be Freeman, Southern, and Odell.
Geographically, are we talking one person?
One.
How would you cover all of them? How are you going to be in the right place at the right time?
Well, you won't. It'll be different than it is, Matt, out here at the high school. They got me there all the time. Counties just can't. I mean, Jefferson's got SRO. They're getting trained up to do the. That was one of the questions the superintendent said we had at one of our meetings. And I said, well, you got to understand, this isn't going to be somebody patrolling and giving tickets and arresting people at the school. It's somebody getting to be a first-name basis, starting to make that the bonding with the staff and the kids. And so they'd be in events come up, they'd like them to be at things like that. I might do some instructions for them on different things. So it's going to be different depending. There are probably some schools that probably need it more than others. There's no doubt about it. But the thought was, like I told them this last time, if they could at least pool resources and see if they come up with a dollar figure between all of them, then we can see what the board feels they can do.
Just a question in my instance. I mean, what demographics are going after? What grade school, high school?
Well, in Beatrice, they have a high school and then, of course, they have middle school. For us, it would be the whole ball of wax. I mean,
well, just, you know, in my instance, what I'm getting at is you have a grade school that's in Diller.
Yes.
And you have a high school that's in Odell.
No, we would.
And then the Diller is Jefferson County.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
How does that operate?
That was a question that they'd asked. Well, I said, well, obviously, the two of them would work together. That's one thing we would do because we have a good relationship with that county. We would be concentrating on what's in Odell.
Okay.
And Sheriff Sorensen's would be what's in
okay.
in Jefferson County. Yeah. And then if something come up, they had to pull, then we would do that as well. So, yeah. It would obviously get I think, if I remember correctly, COPS grants are like 4 years. I think 3 years, and the fourth year, then there's additional funding has to go into it. But at least it would be that trial base we talked about on Monday to see what kind of impact would have in the schools. Do they see some difference? I had our first meeting. I had the school resource officer from the high school down to answer questions, let them know kind of what to do there. And the superintendents absolutely know what it's all about. It's getting the school boards to understand what a school resource officer does. He's there for the kids, not to watch them get in trouble, to be there to help. And sometimes issues come up, he'll find out, he'll get to know them and find out there's problems at home, which can be causing some problems for them at school on studies or social society side of things or whatever, you know. So it'd be curious to see how it does. There are other counties that do it. I mean, it's just counties are a little different scenario because you can't just have somebody there full-time at that one school. So you try to equal it. Don't know if you want to equal it. You try to go to each school as you need to go to it, and they'd have to work into that understanding that that's how it kind of be. So, yeah.
Sheriff, I think this is a good idea, but just looking at dollars and cents, would we have to have a $60,000 car that goes out with them?
Mm-hmm.
We could use like the van or something like that.
It could be some used vehicle. In his situation, he thinks he's going to keep his car, but he's not going. I mean, he doesn't have to have all that equipment. He wouldn't be. The way the city does or used to do it is when summertime had come, then that officer would come in and he'd fill in for all the guys taking vacation. They're looking at this next time around, which I think is a good idea, and I probably would consider doing that as well, is they'll be available for the summer months as well. To any things that happen to go on for the schools during the summer, he'd be there all the time for it. Or they're going to go ahead and make him take all his time off through the summer and then be available for everything that goes on during the school years.
So that'd be written into his contract where
we'd have it all.
Time off would be off outside.
They'd have to have that understanding. He doesn't want to have the position. Yeah, that's just the way it'd have to be. Unless emergencies come at funerals, things like that. But yeah, that's what we're looking at doing. So they might. You know. They're not reinventing the wheel. It's just we're looking to see what the agencies are doing, what they've done in years past, what's working, what isn't, and you try just better something that's already out there. So
you said he's thinking of keeping his car. So this is staff you have already?
Yes, I already have one deputy. Deputy Barons has been trained up already. He went to the initial academy for school resource, and then he'd be the one I'd have end up being involved with it. And then somebody just, I replace him out of my existing budget where his wage was at. So the only expense you really have would be whatever kind of vehicle I get him and a radio. I mean, that's all he really needs besides whatever materials and equipment for the school. So, yeah.
Keep working on it and keep bringing it back, because I agree with Gary that this is an important enough issue that we need to see what we can do to make sure that maybe this project does get off the ground.
Absolutely. It's very, very important.
We'll keep plugging away.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Road and Bridge. Or anything else for law enforcement?
Nope.
Road and Bridge.
Okay. Called out for bids on approximately 34 miles of armor coating. Those miles are 6 miles Christ Lutheran Church Road, Adams Philly Road, and PWF.
And Wymore Liberty?
Wymore Liberty Road also.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're talking PWF, you're talking the old part of it?
No.
The overlaid part.
The six miles.
Basically. I'm sorry.
Okay. But, and I guess the old part, that was overlaid last time? Or, I mean, armor coated last time? 2 years ago?
No.
Has it been?
That is part of the, when we're doing our overlaying of Adams Philly, mm-hmm. More Liberty, and the PWF West, that is part of that segment. That will be armor coated on. It's never been armor coated since.
But John's asking about not the overlay part, the other part of the PWF.
Yeah, I'm talking about from the Wymore Golf Course going west. That part of the PWF.
That won't be on it this time.
Was that armor coated 2 years ago?
I can't tell you about the top of the head.
Because my question is on that road as well as the South 66 Road going up to the Zion Church. I'm not sure those have been armor coated. And they're.
Yeah, I know South 66 Road.
Okay, probably that one was at this.
The back road, I call it the back road from 112 into Wymore.
Yeah.
I know that's been armor coated, but I can't tell you what year it was.
Okay.
I think it's been longer ago than 2 years.
South 66 was armor coated?
Okay. That's my question. I just wanted to make sure you weren't forgetting those roads.
No.
Yep.
Basically, it's all the overlaid miles plus the
Christ Church Road.
There was a meeting about the TP Club Road. Those attending the meeting, Galen, Myron, Eric, Roger, Larry Gronewald, Dean Cephas, and Rob Schaefer, plus the property owner and their attorney. There are metal culverts that have been delivered last fall already at three sites. Just in discussion, we were talking about if the weather would hold, about maybe getting started doing some of them, but that's pretty iffy, too. It's right in the middle of winter, basically. Discussion about hot in-place recycling and a 8.5-minute discussion on call-out pay.
Scott was worried our meeting's going to take real long today, Terry, because we have that on the agenda, so yeah.
It won't.
Yeah. No. And the
Mountains out of molehills, Scott.
Yeah.
Mountains out of molehills.
Yeah. TP Road, too, they're working out a financial agreement, and part of what we're going to do as a county is Galen's going to have it surveyed and get a legal description of that road. And then we will start the process for the county to abandon that road, and then thereby with their agreement, if it all ends up as they're proposing, then the property owner will own that
part of the road.
Right.
Basically, it's the overall reason this county's involved is safety for the public and having that road. And in this way, it'll be able to be closed up and maintained only for the people that need it. And we're required to build them the road. So hopefully they'll be able to achieve
that. Hopefully they'll be able to come to some agreement. Yeah, they're a little bit, they're not far off on numbers, but they're talking dollars. And yeah.
So how do we abandon a road that a quarter of it's now part of the river? Do we have water rights that we can abandon as well? How do you survey that thing?
No. All he's surveying is to get the legal description. He's not surveying it. Yeah, I know. Part of the road is actually in the river.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And when you said we're required to build the road, you're talking county or township?
No, this is a township road. Yeah. So we're basically helping the township to get a situation that's been out there for a long time. Yep. And again, from the county standpoint, the reason we're involved is a safety issue.
Yeah.
And who's doing the future maintenance?
There, basically, it would be there.
The township is working out an agreement, and that's not done yet, but they're working out an agreement to transfer then, once the road's closed and abandoned, to transfer that road to that property owner that owns the land way in the back. So that's all part of their discussion. They're working on that agreement, the township, and so on. But hope if we ended up doing it, I forget what we had some estimates off and on over the years and how much it was going to cost. If we redo the road, we have to build it back up to specs, or the township too. It has to be built up to specs. There was substantial cost in doing that, which was more than the township could afford, quite frankly, or more than the township had money for. And that's part of what they're coming to an agreement now and working things out, the dollar amounts and how to come up to an agreement. So, but if we close it and then it becomes a closed road, now they have can have ownership of it, and then it's their driveway. Anything else for Road and Bridge? Just later. We have time event 9:45, so we do have a little bit of time. Looking at the agenda, next up, I see introduction of tourism director and presentation of the tourism quarterly report. So, Angie.
Good morning. Angie Bruno with the Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce, and I have the pleasure of introducing our tourism coordinator over at the Chamber office. Courtney Schlake started November 19th, and she has been a wonderful addition to our team. Very excited for her energy and enthusiasm. Since she started, she has a whole list of things she's been doing already, and I'll let her have the pleasure of telling you all about that. So, this is Courtney.
Hi, welcome. Everyone. Okay, I do have a report here for everyone to kind of review. And I also have business cards for everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So like Andy said, my name is Courtney. I have been here for a month now, and so I do have a list of the places I have visited and toured, as well as the projects I've been working on. Anything prior to that was done by Nolan, so I can do my best to answer any questions on those. But there is a list here that's provided on some of the bigger projects that he was working on. So as far as places that I've toured here recently, I have gone to the Community Players, Cedar Creek Pottery, the Great Plains Welsh Heritage Center, the One Room Schoolhouse in Wymore, and then a few hotels such as the Holiday Inn, the Victorian Inn, and the Traveler's Lodge. So I'm just trying my best to get acquainted with everyone and kind of know more about their attraction here in Gage County. I've attended a few meetings and some organizations, such as CENTEC, as well as the Heritage Highway 136 meetings. Let's see. Some other things I've been working on are updating our Gage County Tourism website. I've done a few things so far, but I have coming up with lots of ideas on how to change that and make it a little more appealing for people. And I've been working on updating our social media, such as Facebook and Instagram, and getting some Gage County events out there for our tourists. So I believe those are kind of the big ones. Last week, I prepared and submitted Nebraska Tourism Marketing Grant, so waiting to hear back from them. And I've also been planning the post-fam tour, which will be coming in January, which consists of around 20 people with tour bus companies that will be coming in, and they're going to stop at Gage County for a night and then the next morning doing a few tours. So worked on getting that itinerary ready for them.
Well, welcome.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
I'm excited to have you as our tourism director.
Thank you.
And I love your business cards. Very
thanks.
Well done. Nancy, I've got to tell you, you've got a connection to the State Chamber Board now. Yeah. My son Mark has gone on that board.
Okay.
Yes, that's Mark Byers, B-Y-A-R-S.
Do you guys have any questions for me at all on any projects or past events? All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you.
Thank you.
Do we need to put this on record that we got the...
I think because they're considering the quarterly report.
This would be the quarterly report. Yep.
Make a motion to put the report on file.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0 in favor of putting the report on file. Thank you. Okay, approve or disapprove options for a jail roof. Dave?
Yes, there were two options on the jail roof, and the first one was for that deck cell, which would give it a harder surface. If we did have hail damage, it would protect us against a lot of that, and that came in at $17,950. Option two was on the west part of the jail. There's a large area where the water does sit there for a long period of time and pond up. We have not had any trouble with it in the past. It would be nice to have that all, you know, the water shed off the roof better in that area. But I was just doing some math, and I can't quite come up with the percentage, but I think between those two options, the roof itself is $65,565. And 21 cents, the options come up to $37,700. So that's almost, I'm thinking about 60% of the cost of the roof would be for those two options.
If we added them on.
You yes.
Mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as of now, yeah, the insurance is covering the whole amount for the
whole
roof.
Amount. And Don did find out that there is a $1,000 deductible. So that's what the Gage County will be picking up as part of that roof, that $65,000 amount.
Yes. And as we talked about before, nobody knows how long the jail will be standing there. If it's going to be there for a long time, I would strongly recommend we do anything we can to help get as many years out of that roof as we can. But being where we don't know how long we will be using that building, I don't know if it would be worth it or not.
Bueno. Just do what they're going to replace.
Yeah.
An interesting conversation at the NACO meeting. They had a gentleman from Jail Standards that was there. And he gave a plethora of information. Didn't allow a lot of time for questions, but there appeared to be some alluding to the grandfathering discussion of how long that was going to continue. So some of the things that we've run into structurally over here with this old girl is, who knows? And that discussion about regional jails is going to probably come up more and more, and there's going to be a lot more pressure from the state to push these folks back down to us. So the jail issue is not going away. That old building isn't going to work. And at some point, jail standards will come in and do something. Now, I don't know who has a crystal ball when that day is going to come, but it was interesting to listen to that gentleman speak for about an hour that we're not the only ones that has an old thing like that. There was even some discussion of whether or not we need to have a jail, and then some counties that don't, and then they ship everybody out. So that topic is not going to go away. So I would say don't spend any money in this thing more than what we have to.
I guess I would ask, how much water does pond up there? I mean, that's not the only roof that has water ponding on it, but it's not a good deal to have water
right.
ponding on your roof.
After a heavy rain, I would imagine it's a pretty big area. I always guesstimated it to be about 500 gallons or so would sit up there. And as a rule, I mean, I go up there after heavy rains because there's downspouts. I get clogged up with the hackberry debris, so I'll unclog those, and then I just take a push broom and help it along. And
push it off?
So, yeah.
So don't stay up there for weeks and become a
right, yeah,
mosquito
yeah.
hatching ground.
The biggest concern, I'm so glad that, you know, when we had this hail damage, for some reason, there was not hardly any on this west section, but if there would have been just a small hole, I'm sure that would have caused a lot of problems inside the jail.
Maybe the water cushioned it when we had the hail.
It might have, yeah, it
rain.
Might have.
I mean, I don't know, but, yeah.
For some reason, it's above the Sally Port, both Sally Port areas, and the east part of the jail took the majority of the hits.
Anybody else? Otherwise, the reason we put this back on here was we told the company that in a couple weeks we would review this, and once we knew with our insurance if there was any deduction for premium, and I think what you heard back from them is no, there would not be any deduction or credit for premium by doing either one of these. So if we do nothing today, then we're just not doing any option or whatever. But if we wanted to do one of those two options, that's why it's on the agenda, so that if somebody felt we needed to do it, we could go ahead and do it. Otherwise, we can just have Dave just tell them that we decided not to pick up either option.
So, Dave, what was the amount for putting the grade on it?
$19,750.
And currently, when we have a pool of water up there, that you're crawling up on top of the roof and pushing it off the roof.
Yes.
And if you fell and broke a hip or something, that would cost us how much money?
Well, I don't want to think about that.
But
it is safe to do, actually. It just comes off the backside. I'm usually quite a ways from the edge, and you know, it's all flat, so I'm back probably, you know, 20 feet, and I just keep pushing it forward until I get within that 6-foot area or so, and then
So the risk of injuries to Dave is minimal, then, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you be getting up on the roof anyway? If
I do, yeah. I always like checking that out after rains. Like I say, that hackberry will clog up those drains like crazy, and so I'm just always, you know, checking on that. So
should we remove that hackberry?
It would be nice. I know. I mean, that gives a lot of nice shade, too. So,
what are you doing for the sheriff?
I'll record that for you.
And if we did move forward with the remodeling of that, you know, maybe we would make some changes in the front yard at that time, too. So, and I did not hear back from Rich Burton yet. If that does pass on the jail, I know they're going to create a little doghouse type deal for the two levels that are at a different height. So you know, I don't know if that would be something we could kind of create that at this time before the roof or not. I'll let the roofers know that there's a possibility that we'll probably be, you know, changing that if this does pass. So.
Yeah, if there is something done there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At this time, does anybody want to make a motion to approve either one of those options? If not, we'll have Dave instruct him that we don't want to do either one. So
I would be all right with the slope part of it, but that'd be the only part of it. But nope, all right.
Well, at this time, if you would like, we need a motion. So you're going to need a motion to approve one or the other or neither one of them. So.
Which one do you want to approve, Dave?
I would recommend what Matt Bauman said as far as not putting money into it. I wish we did have this extra protection, but, I mean, we've had this roof on for 12 or 13 years without any troubles, but, I mean, now it did show up with hail
and
damage.
We're pretty sure the troubles that showed up was from the hail. If we wouldn't have had the hail damage, we still would have had the roof would have been in good shape. I mean, good enough shape that we wouldn't be having issues.
Correct, yeah.
We're pretty sure that's the issue. So, and, you know, in this part of the country, we don't know when or if we'll get hail. That's nobody can predict that. So,
Is there anybody who wants to make a motion to approve option one or two or both? If not, we'll move on, and Dave can tell them that we decided not to do either one. We need to disapprove them.
I said, or do you want to disapprove?
Disapprove them.
Do nothing, no action.
Well, it basically accepted the bid. I used the motion to.
Okay.
We just consider any options.
Yeah.
If you want, you can go on record. But otherwise, you've got your hearing, and this is the public. So.
Yeah.
No action.
We okay, Dave, if we just don't do anything?
Yes. In the years past, I mean, we've not had any issues.
Yeah, I move that we disapprove the options.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 in favor. So, I do. So, we have a little bit more time, but I don't think we can get the call out pay done in 7 minutes.
Let's go ahead.
I think we can.
Let's have this discussion.
Well, at 9:45, we're gonna take a break or end at one or the other.
We'll get some more coffee. We'll have this discussion.
Break first.
I sense mockery.
Coffee. And this got brought up again. We've had a discussion numerous times about our call out pay.
You got your legislative.
Oh, we could do that. We could skip down to the bottom one instead of the call-out pay, because that won't get done. This legislative bill, let's do the bottom one. Discuss on proposed legislative bill on countywide sales tax. And I think everybody got a handout.
And that should be proposed and not purposed.
Purposed, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's why I hesitated there a minute. Yeah.
I screwed up today.
Everybody got a handout. And this, Janet Anderson, who is Roy's staff, who will be my staff too. We do have a copy of the bill. If anybody wants it, they can have a copy of the bill or whatever, or read it or whatever. But this is her. They always come up with what they call a synopsis or a statement of what is all going on in there, or not what is all going on. The proposed language. It takes the current Nebraska sales tax for counties bill, and these are outlining what would be changed in there or whatever. The one that I visit with state senators about it, I get a lot of positive feedback. I get some that would not be for it. When you explain that this is a countywide sales tax. I'll give a short synopsis of it. This is a countywide sales tax that could be collected in the whole county, which currently you cannot. If the city of Beatrice or city of Cortland or whoever currently has a sales tax, the current bill, you cannot. This would change that by a supermajority vote of the board, would allow a countywide sales tax, even including in the city of Beatrice and anybody else that has one. It would be the way the bill's drafted is for a half cent, would raise roughly $1 million, give or take. The last 2 years, the state's 5.5 cent sales tax has raised $11 million, a little over $11 million in Gage County. So each half cent roughly raises $1 million. This does not state in there, although I'm visiting with the plaintiff's attorney for the Beatrice 6 here in the next week about the fact he sent an email down that if we were going to use this and collect it all and not pay until the end with this, they would have an issue with it. He just sent an email to Jim Overcash. I'm just letting you know what that. My thought on this was, and this is something the board, it's not in the bill, but then my thought was as you collect it, like in a year from now, if you collect $1 million, then you pay that as you go along. What it would do is shorten up the final payments of the proposed, or what we're doing now. Currently, we're paying at that roughly 12 cents a levy, gets us about $3.8 million. As this would come in, whenever it over certain period of time, then you would pay that to them too also. This would not be held until the end, but it would then effectively shorten the amount of years that you might have to pay property taxes on it under all the current statutes. Other things could change. We don't know that. Other things could change. Up here in Section 2, though, number 2, as I visit with some of the state senators about this option here, that it could not exceed the county's annual budget for the year in which the judgment is rendered. The thought process behind that was your judgment needed to be big enough to be greater than your one-year county budget. The senators I visit with say, no, why have that in there? Because you're doing, in the first place, this is a federal judgment. This isn't a state judgment, so it's different. It then might limit some counties that maybe it would allow them to do this. This does, and when the necessary money or the judgment's paid off. So it's not like it can go on. John had a good idea the other day, though. Let's keep collecting it and use it for a new jail, which this bill does not have that.
No, it doesn't.
John.
Doesn't.
But that's not a bad idea, but that's not something that's available today either.
Right.
So my thought is I would like this board to have thoughts, ideas, bring discussion on the January 2nd meeting. This will be on there. I would really like to have this board vote on this, and it comes forward from this board. I'm going to introduce it, but I don't want it to be introduced as just from me. I think, and the senators I've talked to, it would hold a lot more weight if this came from this board, this bill.
Now, as far as that sentence that there, some of them are thinking maybe should come out, you know, the amount that exceeds the county's annual budget, I guess I wouldn't have a problem with that coming out.
You wouldn't have a problem with that?
I wouldn't have a problem. I mean, you know, if it helped another county down the road, you know.
It's a form of property tax relief, which is what everybody's been talking about for how many years. An individual county will be administering this. I don't see where... The state is not going to pay for this. This is a local issue. We've strummed that guitar how many times up there, and they've been very willing to listen to us, but we've got the same... You're going to get how many senators to vote for that, to pay for a judgment in Gage County? Or are you going to get senators to vote for an option that could benefit everybody? It's a more global view than what we're looking at. When we go up there. We've gone that road. I think this is an avenue.
It's another avenue.
The counties don't have to use it.
Yeah.
And even before this came up, how many NACO conferences have we gone to when we've listened to people talk about, wouldn't it be nice if the county could have a sales tax? Well, here's a purpose. Here's a purposeful tax that it's there, and then when the judgment's paid off, it goes away. And that's been some of the anxiety that I've had over the phone. It's like, well, you're going to impose a tax, and just like everything else, then it stays there. My understanding is the way the bill's written, it goes away. It can't stay there.
It goes away. Yep. Because it can only be used to pay for a federal judgment.
And it spreads out the tax burden, plus the only people that pay property tax here are the people that live here, unless you've got an absentee landowner. But sales tax, people that come and go...
Yep.
Those are two things I want to reiterate there, because that's the two main things I heard about. This does include Beatrice. It includes every community. Countywide, anyone would be included in this. And also, it does go away once this judgment is paid. It's one more place to tax people, which I don't like. But like Matt said, this spreads that out. Instead of all of it being on property owners, it affects everyone equally that way. So it does take some of that burden away.
One quick comment. We have 9:45 away, because I have two timed events at 9:45. One quick comment yet, and we can come back and visit about it later. Larry Dix, it was in the news after we talked about it last time at this board meeting. It was in the news the next day. Larry Dix with NACO, he called me already the next morning, and they are going to help us with this. We've already sent a copy over to them of the proposed language. They were also one of them that questioned the annual thing or whatever. They are going to work with us. They're helping with it. They will be lobbying for this and everything. So NACO is completely on board with this right now.
One of the other things I heard real quick is that some of the feedback I've had was that no one's going to shop in Beatrice anymore. Nobody's going to come here. No one's going to buy anything. Look at the larger cities in Nebraska. that create these entertainment districts, and they charge for those. Those places are packed full of people.
I just want to throw something out. Have we had any feedback on our appeal to the Supreme Court?
Other than everything is filed, everything from our group is...
This is what Myron said. The last deal was, you know, they had to get an extension because of the printing issue. That's been done. Everything's filed to the Supreme Court, but we haven't heard anything back from the Supreme Court yet.
Yeah. No timing yet. Okay.
We're going to come back to this.
Yes, we're going to come back to this. We will after we're done with our two projects. Okay. We do have two 9:45 events. We're going to quick do the storage building up at Adams. We're going to close that out, and then we'll go right into the public hearing because that'll take just a little bit longer. I'll entertain a motion to close the bids for the surplus storage building up at Adams that was used for communications by the Adams Water Tower.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Okay.
I don't know who wants these.
Buildings and ground. Denny. So we do have two bids for this. We'll open them quick here and then see if we can accept them or reject them or whatever. So.
Okay, we have a bid from Chris Schieber, Schieber, for $200. And we have a bid from Andy Boer. In the amount of $400, and we'll pick up immediately upon request. So we have a $200 bid and a $400 bid.
Motion to accept the $200 bid.
Which bid?
Or the $400 bid?
$400 bid.
Second that one.
you made a motion to approve the $400 bid.
$400, not $200.
Yeah, the $400. The higher one of the two, right?
And that would be to Andy Boer.
Andy Boer. Yep. He's from Adams right there, too. So we have a motion by Bauman and a second by Thiemann.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Ready? Vote. And it'll be 6-0. Lytle stepped out of the room for a minute, so he will not be. He's not. No, that's Roger come back. So it'll be 6-0 in favor. Okay. Do you want to give your recommendation first, or reopen the public hearing?
I just got a little bit and then turn it over to Dennis. So, as you know, we've had this in discussion, but we've not formally presented, you know, at your hearing. So as you look, does everybody have your regs? I brought some extra copies along for you. The biggest thing that you're going to notice in here is within the green, when we clerically added the wind regs and also some different items, those are going to change our numbering system. One of the biggest things that we've added here is we've added the waiver option. A waiver option allows two landowners to come up with a mutual agreement that can be utilized through setbacks, and it's a tool that can be used when you have, you know, something that can be worked out that forces that applicant to go out and talk to individuals before they start with the project. So that has been added. And then just a special note, our wind regulations, we are adding those wind regulations into the actual regulations component, so that's changed. However, nothing in wind regs has changed in terms of, you know, setbacks or anything other than now that waiver clause can be utilized in that same thing. And then thirdly is the impacts of the agricultural impacts, and I'm going to have Dennis chat a little bit about that. He's here to represent the commission on that. So,
Dennis Rosine, Chairman, Planning and Zoning Commission, Gage County. As we have presented the zoning regulations recommendations previously, the County Board asked us to review some of the items, particularly it would have been Section 5.112, impacts of agriculture. They're actually found in every zoning classification. That's AG1, AG2, AG3, and AG4. Respectively, that's 5.112, 5.212, 5.312, and 5.412. The big question, as the Zoning Commission felt, was that there was some uneasiness as to the wording, and so we changed the wording. The Zoning Commission feels strongly about having this in here, otherwise we wouldn't have recommended it the first time. So the discussions, again, were surrounding really the wording, and the wording was the word accept. That implied that if anybody built a house or got a permit, that they would accept the following impacts of agriculture. We had extensive discussion on that and felt that to alleviate any concerns over anybody making application to build or to build in Gage County was to use the language, and if anybody wants to follow along, if you have it out, that's fine. I'll read the whole thing. Within, and actually that would have been...
the handout we have.
The handout you have would have been, okay, it would have been, within such application, applicant shall acknowledge and accept as reasonable and normal the effects on rural living of normal, usual, customary, or generally accepted farming practices or farming operations and all matters in any way related to or incidental thereto as the same now exists or as the same may be hereafter developed in Gage County within local, state, and federal law, including but not limited to, then we list. So what was really added was that was the language within local, state, and federal law. That would help to alleviate the reading of that and anybody making an application to understand that they do have recourse under local, state, and federal law. And that's pretty much the end of the discussion, and the board did vote and recommend that we would change the language in the previously submitted and recommended new zoning regulations. Any questions on that?
Well, I do have questions, and certainly I understand where they're coming from, you know, wanting, you know, the conflict that it invariably occurs between ag and acreage owners, you know, at times, you know, and especially if the two don't happen to cooperate. But as I understand it, your attorney, which is one of our deputy attorneys, recommended against this, right?
In the very early stages of our discussion, which transpired over the course of at least 3 or 4 monthly meetings, yes, their initial response was, nah, don't do this. The board's discussion was, yeah, we want to do this. What can we do to create language that was acceptable? And the language that was ultimately submitted the first time was what we felt was appropriate after a lot of discussion. And then this recent revision with adding the local, state, and federal law was our most recent addition as for the reasons I just recounted. Yes.
P&Z's attorney is here. If he wants to tell us what his final thought is as far as whether...
Sure.
He wants to put it in. Or his recommendation, I guess, to P&Z.
We need you on the mic.
Come forward, sorry. Identify yourself.
You can sit over at that desk over there if you wanted to. Yeah, there's one there.
That N on your tie is for knowledge, right?
What's that?
That N is for knowledge, right?
I don't know about that. I'm proud of Husker volleyball this week, so... My opinion has not changed with regard to the discussion of the agricultural impacts being included in the regulations. I think that our comprehensive plan puts people on notice that we're an ag-friendly county. I think that and we're essentially re-notifying and trying to list the number of things that impacts that someone who decides to build their residence out in an agricultural zoned area is already on notice of. I think it's trying to
prevent based on my discussions with the commission, trying to prevent nuisance actions by such a person who has just wanted to live out in the country and then is offended by the people using the land for agriculture. I don't think that any court in Nebraska, I've not found any case where such a nuisance action would be sustained regardless of whether or not we have this regulation. I think by listing certain impacts of agriculture, because the list necessarily cannot be exhaustive, you're just opening yourself up to more liability. If it's something that's not listed, I think that the current list doesn't include the fact that, a person nearby irrigated corn might have increased humidity. There's just an endless number of factors.
Hold on one second here.
Yeah.
When Mr. Rosing he's making the recommendation, we kind of jumped into the public hearing. So let's just...
Yeah. At this time, what is 9:57 on the clock? We had a time demand of 9:45 to open the public hearing for our... trying to get my notes here. To hear support and or opposition planning and zoning regulations. So I entertain a motion. We need to open that up.
Oh, so moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0 in favor of going to the public hearing at 9:57. Now, sorry, go ahead.
I do respect the commission, and their intention, I think, is well placed. We want to make clear that, you know, our agricultural zoned areas are, you know, it's going to be agriculture first, and I get that, but I don't think that adding this ag impact statement to the regulations is necessary. I don't necessarily think that it has. I don't think that really adds anything, and I think it opens us up to liability, I guess, in summation.
And I guess the one concern I've heard is enforcement of these regs. If we have them in there, are we enforcing them, the county?
Well, I don't think, I mean, this is basically a notice statement. Regulations obviously are intended to be law that we can enforce. I don't know how you could enforce this.
And the one, Dennis, that I had concerns about, and especially, you know, the snowstorm we had a couple of weeks ago was short-lived, and people weren't stranded out in their places for, you know, days, but they were stranded for a period of time. But there's nothing in there that says it might take 2 or 3 days for EMS services to reach you. You know, and it has nothing about, you know, you're going to be driving on gravel roads and that type of thing. And
John, I guess not to cut you off, but that's kind of my point, is there's an endless number of things that are associated with living out in an agricultural country area that we cannot list. And I understand the commission's intent, but by making a list and then there not being things that, listed that, you know, perhaps we didn't anticipate or just didn't think we had to write out, could open us up to liability at a later date.
The last five words, though, on item two do say including but not limited to. So, I mean, that leaves the door open for anything.
I guess, but.
But we list agricultural practices, which is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, all of them are agricultural practices that are listed.
About driving on gravel roads or being in the winter and I wish we could list those because it's interesting to how many people think that living out there is like a municipality. But
enjoy the solitude.
My question is, and I've looked at the flyer from Farm Bureau, if we eliminated this and come up with some statement that says something to the effect that Gage County is a zone county to protect both agriculture and residential interests, but Gage County remains primarily an agriculture county.
The comprehensive plan is recommended and approved. Okay, the comprehensive plan is how you want to see the county grow. It's for sure the economic engine of Gage County, and it's ag-related. We've had this discussion, but amongst ourselves, and we feel that the comprehensive plan sets forth the ability or the relationship to balance living and not on an agricultural entity, but living in the county and living alongside its primary purpose, which is creating wealth by growing crops. Now, that's a comprehensive plan. How do you implement a comprehensive plan and enforce it so that you have rules and regulations and, hey, guys, this is what we want to do and this is how we're going to do it? That's what the zoning regulations are for. Zoning regulations enforce or create the tools by which you implement your comprehensive plan. One of the issues we have, and we've had over the last couple of years, is an intense debate, and I mean intense debate, on people, or I'll say entities, wanting to live in the county and without any regard, Matt, you mentioned it, you think it's a municipality, they think their backyard is as far as they can see, and we've had this discussion. If you come to any of our meetings or look at our meetings, you'll find this. What I say is true. We've discussed this numerous times on how we control that and how we base our how we inform the public of what to expect, because a lot of people come to us expecting a lot different in their comments and their hearings that they at our hearings. So we started to look around, and there's other counties that have put this in here, so we debated on that. We had legal advice on that, and yes, we kind of went toe-to-toe a little bit about legalities or, hey, we can't put this in. We're not going to be able to list everything. So we said, hey, guys, let's come up with language that allows some flexibility there and that kind of CYA language, you know. Sometimes derogatory term is a little bit of weasel words, as anybody here with a legal degree understands where I'm coming from. But you try to create language that says, hey, guys, this is the way it is. This is our intentions. And by the way, we might not have thought of everything, but we intend to do this, go down this path. This was in regards to addressing not rural living in a setting in a rural county. This was intended to address issues that we found that was happening with ag-related issues. And that's why it's impact of agriculture in an ag-related community. And we also felt that item I, and I quote, all other similar or related farming practices or farming operations and all matter in any way related or incidental thereto. If somebody wants to argue that gravel roads are incidental to that because we can't afford to have paved roads, thus we have gravel roads, and so be it. But that's for somebody's attorney to address and bring suit to find that out through the legal recourse. We decided that we wanted to have maintain that legal recourse because this is a thing that says Gage County has a policy to reflect in its comprehensive plan and these zoning regulations to support intensive agriculture practices in the AG 1 district and also AG 2, 3, and 4, and therefore all persons seeking to construct a new dwelling in district shall do so only after making application for a permit. Okay, and within such application, applicants shall acknowledge and accept. Well, that word accept was the real sticker for everybody. So we said, okay, you can accept it, and it's not limited to, but guess what? We're also going to say that you have recourse. People don't realize they have recourse. There's nuisance laws in the state of Nebraska, nuisance laws for the EPA, federal area. So we said within local, state, and federal law, including but not limited to. So our intentions are not to be comprehensive in the sense that we've listed everything, because nobody can list everything. Not going to happen.
Right.
Why even list regulations for anything if you know that you can't list everything? You could apply that thought process to any regulation we have in here, because the recourse is always the legal system of the United States. It's going to start at the city, county, state, federal. Okay, that's the way, in my limited knowledge of the legal system, that's the way it's going to happen.
And your intentions are spot on. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I'm having trouble going against legal advice, considering everything. And also, you know, Hannah Keelan basically said they didn't want their name on it because of this. It has a lot of experience throughout the state with county zoning. I think we still need to find a way to just refer to something like the Farm Bureau pamphlet and state that Gates County is zoned and to protect both sides, but it's an agriculture county and will remain that way. But, you know.
Something to keep in mind, too. I mean, you know, there's always talk that we lean heavier towards the ag side on our PNC, but we don't zone municipalities such as Beatrice, Cortland. We're looking at ag area or unincorporated. So,
right.
I mean, our zoning should lean, in my mind, towards the ag side.
Our zoning won't have a lot to do with municipalities just because we don't have the authority over those. They have their own jurisdiction.
Even beyond their jurisdictions, you know, they Beatrice is 2 miles outside of their limits. That's their zoning still. So that's a pretty good halo. Yep. Cortland's a mile?
A mile or mile and a half. Mile, 1 mile.
Mr. Chairman?
Gary had a comment.
Well, And I don't disagree. I mean, we live on ag. I mean, obviously, I work for an ag company, so I understand that. But the other side of that, Eric, is that there, not only is there ag, there is also acreages and people that are just living out in the rural area also. So, you know, you can't say that PNZ needs to be all ag people. You need to have people from all districts represented, and you have municipalities that are like my district, in for example, is all inside of Beatrice. You know, we probably should have somebody from that district that should be sitting on PNZ, so that you have all the views of the county and not just one side of your views working towards what you're doing. So I don't disagree with what you're saying, but on the other hand, too, there is other people in the rural area that we are PNZ in.
The architect of this, did they ever give us our copy that we paid for? Did we cut that check?
Yes, he has been paid. And then we did just receive the Word document.
I actually got the email on 11/27, and I didn't realize what it was. He'd sent it out then. I forwarded it to Dawn last night going through old emails, and she forwarded it to Lisa, and yes, we do have that, yes.
This is our
only... I'm only 3 weeks late, I think.
This one piece out of all the zoning regs.
Yeah.
Nice work. That's pretty good if we get just down to one.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty good. Yeah. I do have a question for Dennis. So,
yes.
Dennis, I understand and I agree with the idea of what we're doing here, because there always has been that urban-rural conflict as to, you know, the urban's trying to move out, and sometimes it just doesn't mesh real well. But what is the, you know, I talked to Terry Acton on the phone for a while the other night, and I guess my question is, what is the ultimate reason that came down that said we need to do this? What's the motivation to putting this into our PNZ regs or recommending that we do this?
In the discussions we had, and I suppose the person, if you wanted to really research that, you'd have to go back through the recordings. But as I recall, the board has been somewhat frustrated with the thoughts that people have in the county living in an ag area. And throughout the hearings, we would have comments that just were... I'm just going to say that our thoughts on some of those comments were that, hey, this is just a little bit too much. Just too much of a reach. It's not reality. We thought this would be a little bit of a dose of reality.
say, hey, guys, this is what happens in the county. A lot of times people don't research well on some of the regulations or discussions we have. If you, I can't say strongly about that, but I understand people have, and that's why public hearings are there, okay, but you asked me why we felt that way, and this is why we felt that way. So we felt we would put in some language that said, hey, this is what you can expect in an ag area. I guess I could say in the common vernacular now is we get that, okay? We get that 30 times, okay? We understand your concerns. Yes, we do understand your concerns. And, yes, we feel we've balanced it very well. I truly think we have. But you know what? These are the concerns. These are what you can come to expect here. So we felt that that would help our processes in addressing people's concerns, you know, and going forward. I hope that helps. It opens people's minds up. A lot of times people don't even, they just buy an acreage or somebody sells them an acreage. They have this dream. Okay, fine. I mean, we've all read it in our ag magazines. You know, here's some of the issues you have. You know, can you live in that country? This is what happens. You live in Chicago? This is what happens. You know, guess what? You're gonna, you know, there's issues both ways. I don't know if that, does that help? That gives you a little insight as to what our thought process was?
No. Somewhat, but not okay. Really.
Okay.
I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is...
Ask your question again and see if I can better answer.
Let me try and rephrase it maybe a little too. Is there something that's happened in the near future or near past that has created the need of the P&Z board to feel like this type of language needed to be added? Is it, has there been action that has happened? I mean, we really through the county, we haven't had a whole lot of
specific
real issues.
There's two that were very, very
intense.
Very intense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Post wind generation, okay, intense. This is purely ag things. It would have been probably odor from livestock operations, animal confinement operations, and odor from blah, bunch of stuff here. Probably also F, perhaps. That's addresses practices for all livestock waste, herbicides, pesticides, fertilizer, chemicals, including drift. The odor, for sure. And that's a really interesting one there. We've had three poultry facilities in Gage County recently. One, the turkey hatchery, which was under the radar because it didn't require a special use permit. Mm-hmm. And one southwest of Cortland. That was zero comments on that, no problems at all. And then one that was about a mile and a half, 2 miles east of Cortland, which created a tremendous uproar. Mm-hmm. If anybody had gotten the first one, the second one I spoke of, the one that was southwest of Cortland, south of Dave Niemeyer's place. If anybody had gone out there and, again, researched what's going on and looked at that and smelled it and sniffed it and kicked it, they would have found that there was, like, about zero issues there. You know, I personally drove up over there and sat in front of the exhaust fan. All I could smell was sawdust. Okay? Now, yes, they have to handle manure. And, yes, they have to handle manure within their manure management plan, which the Gage County requires. We could actually require, and I think we should be more strict on that, is have them submit to Gage County the manure management plan. But they do submit it. They do have to work with NDEC for that. So those were the items like odor.
was a bid 1-1. The other one was a fertilizer chemical facility, distribution facility by Ellis, North Ellis, and that was another issue. People were concerned about things like that. That would, again, a normal farming practice that you have to have distribution centers that actually lessen the chance of problems because people don't drag their their tanks behind their pickup trucks two at a time or three at a time going down the highway. There's less mileage covered by that. So there's things that people don't understand sometimes. So those are ones, two, that come to mind specifically. Does that help any?
Yeah. So what you're saying is that pretty much two events in the last 8 years, two special use permit applications is what brought this on.
I believe that would be a fair statement. Going forward, Gage County is experiencing, will soon experience more explosive growth, probably over in the northern tier, the north eastern corner, I suspect. That's what's happening. It is slowly spreading into Gage County.
Sure. But that growth has been to the north. We've had growth. We've had urban growth coming into the rural area you lived up in that area, Dennis. It's been quite a while.
There's a lot of people would be really surprised at how much, housing is in the county when you start driving around. Yeah, there is a lot.
Especially in the northern tier.
Yes.
But there's also David Niemeyer. This has probably been 10 years ago. There was an issue where he wanted to develop a hog operation in Solandi Head, and there was a homeowner, an acreage owner that was living southwest of him that came in and was in protest to that after having purchased the land. I've had personal phone calls. It'd be the West Road where you were on P&Z at the time.
John Niemeyer?
David Niemeyer.
Yes, but David and his son put that.
But
John Niemeyer lives in
a person that bought that home that was.
They had to buy that, but we had to have a special zoning application, and
so that's come up. I get numerous calls about the trucks when they drive, like over there on Cedar Road when they're. There's an ag producer that runs his trucks. When he can't farm, he runs them up and down the road and grooves the road pretty good, hauling anhydrous from a plant there. And I get people that, why are they tearing the road up? So there are those normal holesings that are out there. You got that, Roger. And so you've got that normal ag practice that takes place out there that some people, for whatever reason, are kind of ignorant to. I don't want to say they're ignorant people, but they're ignorant to this is what's going to take place out there. People that call... north of Dorsey, there's a housing division just outside of town. There, people call when it gets muddy, and they're upset. They used to call the former highway superintendent, complain about a dirty car, and so I think
can add to the list.
Well, that's not the point.
That's why
I'm in support of this. Because practically speaking, I think that there's merit because even though we acknowledge that and we have a level of knowledge, not that makes us any smarter, but just saying that we understand it, there are folks that don't. And when they come and they test those, even when we think we have the best regulations, they get tested in district court, and those are the most recent two.
And Dennis, in these two events that you're talking about were very controversial. There's no doubt about it. But they both had something in common. Neither one of the applicants lived where the facility was going to be built, and neither one talked to the neighbors and expected P&Z and the board to do all the work for them and to settle everything. And
Well, one was 3 miles away, but he lives about 3 miles. Three miles.
And certainly we appreciate these two, but we also don't want to do anything that's going to not the right thing to do, as far as if we can find another way to do it.
Terry's got a comment or question.
Dennis, just a quick question. What was the decision? As far as what was the unanimous decision to support this?
Yes.
In there?
It was voted, double checking here, but it was motion carried 6-0 with one absent.
Okay. I'm going to go back and say what I said many times. We've asked these people to come in here for no pay, basically, and spend months on this same issue. Yeah, we're going to sit here in 5 minutes and know more than what they know. Once again, I think we should take the recommendation from the people that are involved in this, very involved in this, and move on from there.
Now, well, I'll make a comment, too. And Terry brought up a good point. This isn't something that you guys have had one or two meetings on and forwarded this on. I don't remember when we actually asked the zoning board to start looking into this. I know it's probably been over a year ago, and you've had numerous meetings. And while Hannah Keelan was brought in, and Hannah Keelan attended several meetings, and then had an issue with one of their people having health, and then they had some others come down. So this might even be a year and a half that this has been worked on. And we did have Hannah Keelan down here and as part of this, and I know we've had some issues with them lately, that they have some issues with some of this too, and that because of that they have told us that they would not be putting their name on this version of this draft or whatever. So we understand that. I mean, everybody knows that. We have had the last few years, zoning has become more aware, the issues have become more aware, or the people have been more a part or become more involved, which is why we have zoning, so that the public can have their voice and have it heard. You know, also with the wind farms and everything else, we've had some issues, not just the last couple that maybe weren't handled quite right. We've had some other issues that at times have been brought out more in the forefront, and we've had more discussion. That's why you have zoning. When you visit with some of the counties that don't have it, then you'd visit with some of those people. They go, well, they said I could talk to somebody, but my voice was never heard. You know, they don't have zoning. Not all the counties in the state, I think roughly 50 or 52 or something, have zoning, so not everybody has it. We appreciate some, like Lancaster County, that they've helped us with some of the wind farm regulations, because there's another issue as we're going forward here now in the next year that will be coming forward, and I imagine that there will be a decent attendance at those public hearings just because of the nature of that or whatever. So I'll make a comment on this. I think our zoning board took a lot of time, took a lot of effort to doing this. When we were also out of Kearney, I don't know if you attended it. I attended the one with, and Lisa, I think, was in that room a little bit. State of North Carolina, and somebody talked about the nuisance law. The state of North Carolina is having really big issues now because of their zoning and the nuisance laws, and their nuisance laws held up in their state court. The concern there is, and there will be some bills coming forward in the legislature this year, several entities are working on it. In North Carolina, the so-called federal, the lawyers that do national scope of things like the Syngenta and everything, and they're suing on that type of philosophy, they're going after federal rules. The federal rules are where they've gotten some big claims right now in North Carolina because of nuisance laws. A lot of people trying to be proactive and be proactive and get some additional things in Nebraska and other states, so that I don't know what kind of lawyers you call those, that they're not going after the laws. They don't care about your laws down there. They're after one thing, and that's money. They've told all the people through the whole process. They're finding out that they couldn't do it statewide. I mean, state issues, but they could do it federally. Some of these things, and we've had two lawsuits too in a district court, you're not going to eliminate them no matter what you put in here or how you put in it. That option or that possibility is always open. It's another avenue where they, again, the public, if they don't like the decision, that is their appeal process. That's part of what we have. And they, again, that's an opportunity that they have. I would really be concerned if we eliminated some of that. Some of this in here, I think it's going to help. I think commenting on some of this, it will help. It will help people to be more aware of it. Will it stop a lawsuit or will it stop issues? Probably not.
Well, I'll just make a comment, because that's about all the time I got with my voice. Yeah. Anyhow, basically land use planning is a balancing action. Yeah. It's urban versus rural, and it's not versus, it's to live together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully in a sense of harmony and economic development. we've seen it in the two cases just recited. That's exactly what our regs allow. It's a democratic process where they come before the P&Z first. They listen, hopefully, to that. And actually, and Mr. Rosine is right, when people come up with an idea and they want to move forward, I think the lesson to be learned by the last few years is go talk to your neighbors. You know, don't let them read about it in the newspaper. I think both situations, we saw that emotional blow-up, if you will. And the blow-up's way too. The friction could have been alleviated, I think, to an extent. Now, we tend as a board to try to develop black and white rules so it's easier to make decisions. We all do that in our own lives. You know, we do budgets and something always comes up that you're going to have to check that, even though you know it's a better decision to go outside my budget or whatever. We got the same situation here. You guys are applying the laws that the courts have given you, and you have to listen to lawyers, and common sense tells you, wait, whoa, I don't like this. And Keelan's doing the same thing. They're saying, based on these precedent, these case law, this is what we're comfortable in telling you is going to happen. So I guess what I'm saying here is you've got a legal opinion, which our office gave you, and that's basically based on the best legal knowledge that we can get and give to you. You still are going to have or apply rules to given situations. And you're going to have people that are upset with you up here. And I think you've got good people on the P&Z. Elise is a tremendous administrator. There's just going to be times where you walk out of here going, man, I didn't like that. And that, I think, is a necessary friction. So would you rather have it take place in the democratic process of P&Z and this board? And again, as Myron says, everybody can appeal it up to district court. And a lot of people say, I don't like that idea. We got two resolutions on very tough situations. At least to the best of my knowledge, just the neighbors are making it work. It's basically a policy decision. That's what this board's here for. Yep. And I'll leave it at that.
Any more questions for Dennis? Because my intent is not to vote on this today. People, you hear comments, you want to go talk and visit with somebody. This is I call it a big enough issue that we will schedule this for January 2nd meeting at whatever time Don will pick, and that'll be the vote and everything. But no, we're still going to have comment here and everything and stuff. We're not closing that. And then this is a public hearing, so if anybody out there also would like to comment, let us know or whatever. So. Yeah, we're not limiting it to just Dennis and Lisa. So this is a public hearing, and it's open for anybody. So I know Walker's here and Jeff and stuff.
One other thing, Justin was speaking before we actually opened the public hearing. Right. I would just ask the board to make a motion to include his comments that were made prior to the public hearing. They were made in this public meeting, but technically it's just a technicality, so I think to cover that. I would ask you to do that.
And what Roger's bringing up there is because we did have here, if you look at our agenda, we did have received recommendation from planning and zoning, and that's what Lisa and Dennis were doing. And right. Then we kind of went right, inadvertently, we went into
that was my
bringing
my,
Justin up and stuff. So
my mistake.
We'll need that when we get done with our public hearing. Can we do that, or you want to do
it? I just didn't want to forget to say that.
Matt.
Any more questions for me?
When was the last time we updated our comprehensive plan?
2010, I think it was. Yep. Oh, well, we just did.
Comprehensive plan, but he's talking, these are our zoning regulations. When?
2000. So 12 years ago, there's a lot that's changed. So I've had people say, why do you guys keep going over this and over this? Been a while. Lots of change. It's very important.
Just as an acreage owner there, too, I mean, I have neighbors that ask things that make you wonder. We've got a dairy down the road. They wish we could, you know, they wish silage could be hauled at a different time of year. And I thought that was a joke at first, but no, that was, I mean, if we could schedule that a little bit better so that it didn't tear the road up or make so much dust. I mean, there's things that you may not think about that when people move out of town, they don't realize is going on. That's where I really think this is, and I'm on the other side of it. I'm not actively involved in agriculture anymore, but there are thoughts and ideas that, I mean, it's just a lack of knowledge. They haven't been there. They don't realize it. When you go out to look at a lot, yep, the sun's shining, the birds are singing, it's quiet, and then all of a sudden you've got an army of silage trucks that, yep, just show up for a while and then they're gone again. This just brings a little bit of stuff to light for people as they do move, yep, outside of town.
And great work on this plan by P&Z. Sorry we're so hung up on this one point.
Well, thank you. Any further questions for P&Z? Well, thank you very much. Take
Thanks,
care.
Dennis.
Yep.
There's a sign-up sheet for anybody.
There's a sign-up sheet over here. If Walker or anybody wants to comment on it, anybody else, sure, sign in. We're still in the public hearing, so you're more than welcome to comment. Yeah.
No.
That's only entirely up to you, Walker.
Don't twist his arm.
No. Okay. Otherwise, if not, we're going to close.
Since you live close by.
Gary?
Yeah, I just have one comment. No more questions. Just one comment I want to make prior. I respect the idea behind this of what it is, but it feels like a response to not liking the process that happened with two isolated incidents. And I having this in, I don't believe, and I want somebody to tell me, I want somebody to prove to me that it will. I don't believe having this in here will change the process or make it any better. The big thing, because this won't eliminate the issues. The issues that we had with the two, the recent ones, them would have still been there. They still would have been the same issues. The big thing, and this is not something that this board or that board or a lot of other things can fix. This is a societal issue that we have in our society right now. We're too right inside my bubble here. Anything inside of this bubble is what I'm worried about. Yeah. Outside of it, I'm not. We've got people that move out into the country and don't know their neighbor eighth of a mile down the road. You know, you got people in town, same way. You know, the communication between neighbors needs to improve. And, you know, in this day and age, I don't know that it will, because we're so into this thing, yep, or whatever else. But the real problem is the communication issue that we have out there, and not knowing your neighbor, not knowing Jeff Argo, or not knowing Galen Engel, you know, as my neighbors. You know, we need to be out communicating with our neighbors. And as an ag business or ag entities, we need to know our neighbors, and we need to communicate, and we need to explain why these things happen. You know, why does the silage truck run at this time? You know, why are those things? You know, we have a responsibility as an ag to educate the folks that are moving out in the community. How do you do that? I don't believe this is going to do that. It's going to put it in there, and it's going to say, you know, it's going to state this, great. But how are we educating anybody? How are we making that communication any better? That's where we need to improve. And I don't know that Dennis Rosine's going to have the answer. I don't know that we have the answer. But somehow that's what's really got to improve. Sorry, Dennis. So.
Oh, okay. Walker, come on up. We need your name and address for the record, and then I do.
Nice badge.
Need to swear you in because it is public hearing. I guess we didn't swear Justin in either, so, yeah.
Walker Zolkowski, 831 Ashley Avenue, Cortland.
And I forget how the wording is. It's not, it's do you swear?
Do you swear or affirm?
Do you swear or affirm tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay.
So formal.
Yeah.
I guess since you guys wanted some comments, I'll give a couple comments in two different capacities. One as the Director of Economic Development. I appreciate you guys going through these so diligently, because it's very important to have some thought into this before some of these issues pop up. And we're going to have some big developments that come up here in the next year or two, and thinking through these things. And, it's just helpful to kind of wrap our minds around it now. So in a different capacity as a rural acreage owner, these put me in a really weird position where my backyard is as far as I can see, and it probably won't be like that for long. but also grew up on a ranch and understand all of these stinks and smells and all the stuff that goes on. So that's just part of the country and the life that we live. But I guess just maybe even a third capacity, but just as a concerned citizen, it's just maybe it's a little bit sad that there's not more people here with more comments for you, because you're up here racking your brains and trying to think of all the things that people are going to get upset about or the things that they want, but there's no one giving you any ideas other than yourselves. So, I just appreciate you really going around and trying to cut off some of these issues that might pop up, but it's impossible to think of what all of them are going to be. But I think you can come back to these, a couple of these different hearings that have happened where there hasn't been a whole lot of public input. And just for your own your own benefit, thinking you try to think through these issues, and so the process is going to work out the way it works out. But we all had a chance to come up here and say what we wanted to be concerned about. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Do you think it's beneficial? You're in a development. In the northern half of the county, we're going to have more and more residential growth there. Do you think it's beneficial to have something like this if you're applying for a building permit? Would you have gone through this and looked at something like this and been made aware of some potential items in country living?
I've been thinking about that. John and Lisa and I were talking the other day as we were looking at the Farm Bureau handout. I mean, I was never given anything like that when I was looking at building a home. I mean, we were obviously very aware of it. My wife and I are both from small town rural lives, and so I think we both understood that going into it. Maybe that would be really helpful if you had someone from a larger city who was looking at moving down here, of what their concerns are. I mean, I don't know. My mind doesn't go there. I mean, I guess it is what it is, and we understood that before. But I don't know. I mean, I think of a lot of our neighbors, not a lot of them, but there are some of them who moved down from Lincoln. Some of them are probably in favor of some of this development, and some of them aren't.
When are you going to move into the hub of economic development in Gage County here in Beatrice?
Well, according to my contract, this is I need to live inside of the county.
We're asking for a personal thing.
Well, can I ask why?
We need taxes to be paid.
Well, you're going to get my sales taxes in the county here pretty soon, aren't you?
Yeah. I hope so.
Thank you, Walker.
Yep, you're welcome.
Any more questions for Walker? John?
Well, I don't exactly have a question for Walker, but I do have a question for Dennis. But it's in regards to Walker's point that, there's nobody here to voice their concerns. Despite all the people we had for those two events. But did you have anybody at your meetings, public-wise?
For comments on our final adoption of the zoning or comprehensive plan?
Well, throughout the process.
Very few.
Yeah.
Very few. It's when there's an issue, not my backyard issue.
Yep.
I'll make a comment though that Doug and Scott they were at several of the meetings because you never used to, at least in my opinion, never used to really cover the zoning meetings so much unless you knew they were going to the zoning board meetings. And I know lately. At least I see an effort on both of your parts to cover that this is part of what we need out there for people to know and to understand better. And I appreciate that part that you've covered that so that it is out there for people. So
that's very true. I appreciate that too. And I might say that I know, John, I think you've been.
I have.
Matt and Eric have been in our meetings.
I've been a time or two, yeah.
You've been more than anybody. But that's exactly right. We've had a few. From the CBS there, and we appreciate
it. And I certainly intended to attend your last one. I just had another meeting that night that I need to go to.
Okay.
But who had wings that night?
No.
And we did.
Oh, I heard that.
We did have just for the record, we did have Justin over here. He was part of our public comment, and he did sign in that he was going to speak or whatever. And we will, when we close our public hearing, then we will vote and have a recommendation, like Roger said, that that part before we went into our public meeting will also be included as part of the record for this. So,
thank you.
Any more for our public hearing? Any more? Anyone else want to speak? Your last opportunity. No.
No.
Okay. I'm going to entertain a motion at 10:41 on the clock to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0 in favor. Moved. Now I'll entertain the motion to include Justin Huber's comments before we entered into public hearing as part of the record of the public hearing.
I'll move to include Justin's comments that were set prior to the public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Lytle. Vote 7-0 in favor. Thank you. And we will have that as a timed event. What do you have time for that? Or
so on the second, yeah. Looks like maybe 9:30.
9:30. We'll have that as a timed event for discussion and the vote on our zoning regulations.
We'll just put it on the consent agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Matt. Back to our.
That's what you can do.
We're done with committee meetings. We're done with everything down to discussion on county highway call-out policy. I'm going to make a quick comment on this before we really get into the thing. We have the policy. We've talked about it I don't know how many times. I see that our call-out policy, what we've come up with, basically pertains more to when somebody's called out. We have somebody on call down there all the time, and when they're called out, that's more what. I think if you really want to do something, you add some type of weather thing in there, snow or whatever, ice or something like that. Let's make another policy for that, because that is different than our call-out policy. That's my comment. Now go ahead.
Well, and I that's right. The on-call needs to be separated from the rest of it. And, you know, my thought is there are some things that I'd like to look at as far as maybe, you know, some type of flux time or something for the employees down there. But
oh, hold it. Somebody go get Scott and get him back here. He wanted to be a part. No.
No.
He can't leave when we're starting this. Go ahead, John.
As of today, and partially because of the NACO meetings in Kearney and the wind farm meeting yesterday in Lancaster County, I would prefer we postpone this down the road for a ways and come up with a more comprehensive policy.
I think at our next committee meeting, we need to talk about it again at committee meeting, and then we need to start developing and go that route instead of sitting here and talking for more than 10 minutes about this, because we visited the issue a lot. And
well, that won't come up for now because the weather's nice out there.
Yep.
The
next time it is.
It's Galen's people.
Yeah.
He's the highway superintendent. Can we ask Galen?
We've done that already.
Yeah.
We've done that already.
All right, I'm talked out.
We'll do it 2 weeks.
We will at committee meeting. We'll talk about it more. And in my opinion, and we'll see what comes about it, I think the call-out policy, maybe we need to adjust that a little bit. But for me, that's calling someone out. What we're really always talked about here is the issue of when they go out in basically a weather event, the snow, the ice, and that type of stuff, when those, because they're different than what we have so-called have the person on call. So we'll.
But Myron,
maybe go
what
back.
Weather event you're talking about? What about tornado? What about rainstorm? What about windstorm? What about all those things? I mean, we're going to list all that stuff in there too? Nope. I guess I don't get it. I don't see the difference between. I'm talking.
Go ahead.
I don't see the difference between a snowstorm or a severe thunderstorm where it floods the road. And then we talk about, well, if it's only 2 inches, well, that's not as. But if it's more than that, yeah, that's a severe thing. I mean, why do we even have to put that in there? It makes no sense to me. If Galen deems it an emergency, it's an emergency.
We can go. Okay. I'm fine with going that route.
And that's
got
really
3 minutes
true.
Left, so.
The only thing I would say is just like on this day of morning where we're tightening our belt, not spending extra money, and I'll go with whatever you guys want. And the call-out that we have, that's what I had intended, was for on-call personnel, not for crew-wide. If we're tightening our belt and stuff, why are we paying people time and a half to come in and work a few extra hours here and there outside of their 40 hours? Should we be paying anybody extra for coming in and working a few extra hours? I'm a big overtime supporter, so I like it. If we have to come in, work over extra hours, and we get time and a half because we earned it, I'm fine with that. Why are we paying time and a half just because we said, hey, you're going to be in a couple hours earlier, we started early, we worked late? There's your reward. You worked over 40 hours. We're upset because we're getting paid to go to a funeral or a doctor appointment, or we're already getting paid for all these items, and then we're putting our hand out and saying, well, we need time and a half because we're doing our job. It comes back to the, I heard somebody on the radio one time, their argument was, they were debating back and forth, I take care of my kids, and it's like, well, what do you want, a cookie? That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, it comes down to that argument. How many benefits do we hand out? How many benefits do we give? If we're giving out time and a half just to give it out, I don't know that I'm okay with that. I mean, whatever you guys want to do as a board, I'm going to support it. But, I mean, we have to draw a line somewhere where we say, this is the job. Do we pay election commission time and a half for working in the evenings?
I'll make a comment to that, but it's going to be related to the other one. Being closed that Wednesday for a National Day of Mourning cost the county more money than what the last 8 years have, what you're talking about.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay.
And I agree with you on that, too.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about it in committee meeting again. Next up on the agenda, discussion on amending the Gage County Handbook to replace language pertaining to the closing of county offices with a proclamation from the president and or governor to read, if there is a proclamation, it must be approved by the Board of Supervisors and elected officials. Currently, we do not have that in there. We follow, if they close it, if they make the determination that it's a holiday, our handbook says we will follow that.
So we have to craft it such that the chairman can make that decision. Otherwise, we have to convene a meeting and vote on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to change. We'll have to get the right wording in there if we want to do that.
Yeah, if you want to pursue something like that.
Yeah.
Just an example. You know, the courts are open.
Yes.
Because the Chief Justice says they're going to be open. Well, with the courts being open, our office was open.
Right.
Which that's fine. I mean, I made an arrangement with the secretarial staff so that they didn't get shortened by, you know, day off, if you will, the day of mourning. That's how we did it in our office, so I didn't have overtime. And not every office can do that. And I again, it's up to you. If you guys want us to look at that, we can draft some language. That'll bring in the state statute, they'll bring in the judiciary, and I don't know what all the issue was between the governor and the Chief Justice on that, because that's kind of, you know, I mean, the statute allows for essential services will be continued in a situation like law enforcement and the jail. Obviously, they have to work.
I'll go back to visit with Rick Schreiner. He basically had 30 cases on the docket for that day. Yep. Now, you, all of a sudden, you know, they were at some point in time scheduled for that day. Now you have to reschedule all of them and work them all in. To me, that shouldn't have been closed, the court. I was glad they left that open so that they were allowed to work that schedule, what they had to kind of work.
It becomes an issue. Can they reschedule it? I'll guarantee if there's 9 to 12 inches of snow, they'd reschedule it.
They reschedule it,
okay,
yeah.
So, you know, again, it's essential.
It's convenient.
And I'm not going to get myself written up for that one. But
okay. Why don't we just recognize the holidays we have, and if some impromptu thing comes up, that's not a recognized holiday. The elected official can decide whether or not their office is open. Just leave, we've got designated holidays. If it's a day of mourning, we don't recognize that.
So the courthouse would be open?
Do we have to recognize it?
Our handbook right now says that we will close if the state and federal close, we will close. That's what our handbook says.
And our handbook says
proclamation by the president and/or governor.
Our handbook says that, but does state statute say that?
The state statute basically does have a provision in there, and again, I'm going to have to check. I honestly don't know the answer to this. If we can waiver out of that,
right?
I mean, the essential services and stuff that. That seems to me to be the buzzwords.
Yeah.
You know, is it essential that you pay your taxes? Is it essential that you file a deed, have a real estate closing? Is it essential that you come in to register to vote or pay your ticket, because it's the only day you're in town? I mean, you can make an argument anytime you want on that. Now, if you know,
Yeah.
I don't know. When the president, you know, we had a situation like Don and I talked about that when it was right around Christmas when you're wishing at a big snowstorm. So the president basically gave the federal employees a day or two off. Well, then it trickles down. The governor did the same thing, and then all of a sudden here we sit. The sun's shining, and we're closing shop because the president said so.
See if we can waver out.
I mean, I like what Matt just said there. That makes more sense than what I said at part. Once again, I'll say this. Everybody's sick of me and saying it. Jefferson, Thayer, Lancaster, we're all open, as well as Johnson. We're open that day. They didn't say this is law, we have to be closed.
Somewhere they have something in it that they... Well,
there's got to be something.
Okay, we'll frame something up that you can look at it and decide what you want to do.
Okay, Terry, I did do a survey or contacted some of the counties, and some of the responses I got back, and I think it was confusion based on the same type of confusion I had. They have that language in there like what we have, a lot of them do, but they didn't know and didn't take that day of mourning as the same language as what we have in calling it a holiday. I had to get clarification to see after the other two officials that came in here and said that they had deemed that, you know, a day of mourning to close. So I got clarification from the labor attorney. Is that the same thing as what we have in our handbook? Some of the other counties didn't do that. So I think that was why, because I had some of them say we didn't know if that was really a paid holiday or not, as well as I didn't. So that's kind of maybe some of the confusion where I knew some of them had it, but yet they stayed open.
But you think they have the same terminology in their handbook?
I know some of them do, yes.
Not all of them.
No, because I haven't got, and I did a new request for what other counties have. I know they're the ones that I've gotten responses from. There are like three or four counties that don't have it that will be adding it in January. They've told me that. There are counties that have it and counties that don't. I haven't got a large response yet.
Well, if Roger gets some wording and we make that available so that we have the option to add that.
I'll make one last comment. Gage County right now is not like the rest of the counties either. So we better remember that.
Yeah.
So you're saying extra belt tightening?
Something.
No, we'll have that, and that will be something we'll look at here in the future. Okay. The only other thing we have is we're going to go back to discuss the legislative bill again.
One more thing before that. Just it made me think of it. With our call-out pay and stuff so that we're on par with every... I know. Give me 1 second.
Let it go.
Before we come back, I mean, just so we want to be fair with employees, Don, could you maybe talk to a couple of the other counties, Lancaster even... But some of the other...
We don't need to be like other counties.
To see what we're on par with. I mean, does that make sense to try to see what other counties do?
It never hurts to look at it, so we'll see if some of them have anything or not.
Maybe each of us should contact a couple counties.
Which one?
Maybe each of us should contact a couple counties.
I'm not going to give up our sovereignty as a county.
Each of us that think that's necessary, yeah.
There you go.
I don't care what we do. I just want to give the employees an answer.
Back to discussion on this legislative bill. Like I said, we'll look at next week voting, 2 weeks voting on this. Probably going to pull out number 2 in section 2 up there. Gary?
Okay. I'd like to comment. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a good start. I think it's a good tool. I think it's good to be able to take that little bit of money and take it off of the property tax owners. On the other hand, I disagree with anybody that says that the state does not have responsibility in this case. I think there's several reasons why I believe that the state has some responsibility here. And I think that there's a good reason that because of all those items that the state, I don't care what, be careful here so I don't get myself in trouble. I don't care what a former state attorney general did to cover the state's rear end. I still think that the state has some liability in this. I don't think it was right what happened.
and I don't think it was justified. And I think it's put Gage County in a bad spot, and I think that this sales tax idea puts the residents of Gage County in an unfair trade spot by having to deal with an extra sales tax to fund something that I think the state should help out in taking care of. Yes, I don't disagree. It is Gage County issue because it happened in Gage County, and we're the ones that had to go through all the trials and everything. But I think that it's a lot bigger than Gage County, and I think that the state and every one of the state senators should consider that and should look at it. I don't completely disagree with what Don Shuler had to say.
Yep. And I'm in agreement. You know, this needs to, you know, pass or be attempted to pass the legislature to help with the burden that's on the property owners. I also have complete confidence that you're going to keep pushing the issue, Myron. I have complete confidence. I'm kind of of the opinion it might take you 2 years to get it done, but you'll keep working at it. And if not, we'll remind you.
Just because they tell us, I know you will. Just because they tell us there isn't no money,
yep,
they can find money for projects when they want to.
Yep.
Get it done before you get term limited out, because by then we'll have it paid with property tax.
When you're term limited out, we'll be done paying it.
If you get this done in 2 years, you deserve a trophy.
Now, I think there's hope on the sales tax.
Oh, on this.
Yeah, the sales tax, yes. That one. But, we can comment a lot more. Okay, anything else? Otherwise, we do have a closed session we need today.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, one quick thing. Can I get a show of hands? You guys all got an email, too. We're having a holiday party next week. I invited the county board and the city council and our board. You all should have got an email. I don't know. Just show hands. If people are going to come, it's Thursday night at 6 o'clock at my house.
Well, some of them
Thursday night.
Some people said yes. Some people.
Terry, good time.
Thursday night.
This coming Thursday night?
My dad had a stroke. I'm kind of on the fence.
Sorry.
At Walker's.
Tomorrow night or next Thursday?
Next Thursday. The
27th?
Oh, I'll be in Chicago.
Christmas event.
Okay.
For
the kiddo.
I'll try and make it. Thank you for the invitation.
It's your birthday.
Year one.
I'll be there.
Two.
It's protected health
maybe
information.
Three. Four. Five.
No. That's a big one, too. 55?
No.
Relax. How am I going to get there?
Uh-huh. It's your birthday?
On the 27th, it is.
I might go buy some
spot. Are you going to drive your regular bike?
55. That's a big birthday.
Okay, that'd be a good thing.
55, 35.
You aren't on the ball today.
You're not paying attention. Fuzzy math.
No.
What did I miss?
35, I know quite well.
You have your drug users. Other than that.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Get back to you on that.
At 10:58 on the clock.
What's missing?
Go into closed session.
See you later. Thank you.
Moved.
Motion by Hill.
We
need a second. Hey. We have a motion to go into closed session at 10:58 on the clock. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
I'd be up there already.
Sure.
Okay. Motion by Hill, second by Lytle.
Third.
They vote.
Thanks, Walker.
6-0 in favor.
5-0.
Is Matt gone?
No. Matt and Durgan are both here. Oh, no. This is going to be switch.
I think they're both.
They're both back. They're both coming back. Durgan's stuff is here, and so is everybody.
Whoa, Teeman, hold on. Whoa.
Teeman, I had something to say to you.
We got to have five in here to do something.
5-0.
All right.
Yeah, waiter, shut the door.
John.
12:02 on the clock. I'd entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So move.
Second.
Vote.
Wait, who made the motion in second?
Teeman.
Teeman and Hill is a second. Vote. 5-0 in favor. We're out of closed session. 12:03, do we have anything additional for the meeting today?
Nope.
Not seeing anything. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Teeman and Byers. Vote. 5-0.
We couldn't wait to adjourn.
Thanks, Gary. I wanted to hear who you called between Byers.